Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 445, top of the day to you, Chester. Chester the Black Cat is sitting next to me as I record this. Steph away again for another week. She'll be back next week, though. I'm sure she's got a heap of things that she's been watching. And I reckon I'm a little bit ahead as well. I've been slowly plugging away with a couple of different series, which is nice because you don't feel like you have to get through them all. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to do that big binge where you have to watch all 8 episodes in 2 days or whatever. I'm kind of just slowly plugging away. I've got a couple of fun movies as well that I'm going to review next week because, all right, I'll give it away a little bit. So I'm going to talk about what I think of the second season of 4 Seasons in this episode. And I thought, oh, that might be a fun little jumping off like idea to watch films starring, you know, 2 people from the cast of 4 Seasons, whether that be season 1 or season 2, that I've never seen before. Films that I've never seen or probably, I was going to say never heard of, but I had heard of one of them, and see how they fare, you know, and was there a reason why we've never heard of these films? So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. We'll do that next week. Got a quiz for next week as well. Can't really quiz myself. Can't quiz Chester because he's a cat. And I'll basically be spending most of this time trying to get him not to walk on the keyboard, which is something that he really, really likes to do. I have seen those people on, you know, Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and they have like a decoy keyboard for their cat to sit on, you know, just to cause ruckus. But the cats know. They know. They get wind of it after a little bit. It's kind of like if you give a kid a gaming controller that isn't plugged in, that is not connected, that is not playing the game that they think they're playing. It only gets them. They only fall for that a few times before they realize, particularly I've realized the controllers lately that light up, you know, like a PlayStation controller will light up when it's on, when it's connected, when it's the one that is controlling the character that you're playing. If they've got the controller that isn't lit up, nah, they know. They know. They're not silly. They're not silly at all. Yeah, so I've got a couple of different series that I've watched, one that I enjoyed more than the other, but I did enjoy both of them. I actually did. I got through both of them pretty quickly. So that's kind of a telltale sign, isn't it? But there's always a competition and there always has to be a winner, which I have. And, oh, I forgot. It's time for the Chester. Do you want to do it? He said he's a cat. He won't.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
So Tim Robbins and Sissy Spacek have been announced as part of the cast for The Catch, which is the movie with Emma Stone and Chris Pine. It's like a rom-com. They're kind of saying, oh, it's a mix between Bill Durham and Notting Hill. And I'm like, okay, so it's a baseball version of Notting Hill. All right, I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. Sometimes you're just in the mood for a rom-com. It doesn't even need to be that good. The more predictable the storyline, the better, I reckon, with rom-coms, don't you think? Like you just want them to be like, yeah, and this happened and this happened and this happened and then the movie looks at you and says, go on, finish our sentence. And you go, oh, and then this happens. Like, yes, you've done it. Well done. But what a great cast. Emma Stone, Chris Pine, Sissy Spacek, Tim Robbins. I'm loving that. And one of my new favorites at the moment is going to be in it as well. From the current cast of Saturday Night Live, Ashley Padilla. She's really funny. I've seen quite a few of her skits, or at least the ones that she's in lately on social media. She is so good. She's really, really good. And I hope that we get to see her doing more film, doing more skits, and doing different things as well. Because, you know, if something works for you and you're like, oh, everybody likes me doing this, or, you know, the audience or the casting directors like, everybody likes you doing this. And then you do it for a bit and then everyone goes, well, we do like you doing that, but we're a bit bored of you doing that. So I hope there's a bit of variety in her performances, and maybe there will be in The Catch. Now, we won't get this film until May next year, so don't get too excited. But I have no idea what the script is about. All I know, a baseball rom-com, kind of like Notting Hill. So, all right, I'll keep my ear out for that one, see if I can remember it once it pops around, comes around. Ah, okay. This one is a Netflix series where two actors have been reunited and they haven't been together since, well, I mean, they were both in Stranger Things, so it hasn't been that long. What, that was the beginning of this year, right? We got the last episodes, those sort of movie length episodes. Am I right in thinking that New Year's Day was the last episode? I think it was, wasn't it? Pretty sure it was. It kind of started around Thanksgiving and then in the US and then continued on and finished at the beginning of this year. Anyway, Millie Bobby Brown and David Harbour will be in this film again. Will they be father and daughter? It's not a film, sorry. I apologize. It's a series. It's called A Spy in the Blood, and it's about a disgraced FBI agent turned security expert, which is played by David Harbour, and he's drawn back into the world he left behind when his estranged daughter, Millie Bobby Brown, who's now an FBI agent, determined to follow his footsteps, vanishes on a mission, forcing him back into a field that has evolved beyond him. I reckon that's a really good premise. I would be very much on board with that. I actually really like both of the kind of films and series that both of those actors have taken on during and post Stranger Things. And to have them back again doing that is really exciting to me. But I can't help but think, how old is Millie Bobby Brown? I think she's like 22, right? Yet she's now an FBI agent. Is that the age that FBI agents start? I don't know. Like, I've got no idea because I'm not from America. I have no idea how their law enforcement career avenues go. But I would think, right, if you're 22, you're probably some sort of rookie. But maybe that's why she goes missing, because she's a rookie and she's not good at what she does yet, because she doesn't have the expertise, the years of career, and enter her estranged father. I think it'll be interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. No idea when that's coming out, but Netflix have, I mean, I think anything with Millie Bobby Brown, Netflix is probably always going to take, right? Unless some sort of massive bomb happens in terms of a series or a movie that she does, I reckon they'll always grab her. Then I even really like the Enola Holmes films. They're fun, or series, sorry. They're really fun. Up to the third one, right? I'm pretty sure it's the third one. Yeah. Okay, so this one really grabbed my attention, mainly because of our love for Stardew Valley, and we've been keeping a close eye on Haunted Chocolatier. And Concerned Ape, the developer, one-man developer, has given a bit of an update. So I thought, all right, it immediately grabbed my attention. I saw it on the Game Informer website. I went, okay, what have you got for us? Haunted Chocolatier, I reckon has more hype than Silk Song had. I do. I kind of feel like it's more accessible, or I mean, I'm just basing it on Stardew Valley, right? It's more accessible. So the fan base is wider, broader. And to have not a sequel, but a new game, I'm assuming with similar sort of mechanics, come out by the same developer, people are going to jump on Haunted Chocolatier. But it was announced back in 2021. That's 5 years ago. And then since then, we've hardly heard anything about it. But a few like little blogs on his website. It kind of reminds me a bit of like George R.R. I was going to call him Williams Martin. George R.R. Martin, you know, about his final book, which I don't think he said anything about that for a while, right? I haven't seen any sort of articles about how he's saying that he's written it or writing it, not for a long time at least. Like, we are all on the same page with this, right? Not with Haunted Chocolatier. I'm talking about the final Game of Thrones book. We're all on the same page, right? We're all assuming it's not going to come out. It's 2026. That's the assumption we've made now, right? We're not like, oh, but maybe he will. No, we know. We know. We kind of know what the end of the story is going to be, because we saw the final season of Game of Thrones. We could see those big like story beats, which apparently is what he told the directors, that that's the end. That's how the story ends. So I don't feel the need to read it. I mean, it's probably been like over 10 years since I read the last ones. Nah, I've moved on. Haven't we all? I think we have, right? Oh, where was I? Haunted chocolatier. Okay. So he has, as in Concerned Ape, has posted on his website. He said, lately, I've been revisiting the recipe book for making chocolates. This is like a bit of a game mechanic within the game. As with many things in the game, I've iterated on this many times, each time bringing it closer to its final form. To me, it's not a simple task as I torture myself over every last detail. This is a UI you will be using fairly often, so it has to be perfect. I get it, right? It was kind of like, I was thinking about this. Okay, so there's recipes of different chocolate dishes or, you know, pastries, desserts. So it is kind of like Stardew Valley in that you get recipes, right? You have to make sure that you've got the correct ingredients and then you can make that recipe. But I'm also wondering if it's a little bit like Breath of the Wild, like Zelda or Tears of the Kingdom, where you've got these different concoctions and you try them out and then it goes, ba-da-da-bum, you've made this recipe. This is really good. I wonder if it's a little bit of that where there's lots of excitement over, oh, I'll try this, like a little bit of experimentation, which I don't think you really get in Stardew Valley, do you? Like you either can cook it or you can't. It kind of feels like to me that in this one we might get that that aspect of experimentation, which I think is really fun. He says he likes to fuss over his whole game, right? He's going through different concoctions, fine-tuning it, getting that UI correct. He said the game will come out at a level of polish that he's satisfied with, like Stardew Valley is now. So I don't know when we're going to get this, but that also means like it's going to take a long time. He said, this is on the Game Informer website. He said, on that note, he says that his eye for detail and refining is also the reason that there are so few screenshots or gameplay clips in the wild, which means by the time he makes it, he tweaks it, it's no longer a thing anymore. Anyway, I'm happy to wait. I've got so many more Stardew Valley hours, I reckon, left in me. And the amount of video games out there, you know what I mean? Video games are competing with all the streaming services. Video games are competing with books. And the big one, video games are competing with social media, you know, like TikTok, YouTube hours are up, 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 up. Who's got time for another video game? We all do. Put TikTok away and watch something, play something, read something. It's better for your brain. It really is. All right, let's get into these watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So I was so excited to sit down and watch the Four Seasons second season, series two of the Four Seasons, I should say. Because if you remember, that was my number one on the top five watches for 2025. And Steph and Mick were kind of like, oh, really? That was your top? That was the number one? I'm like, yeah, I really liked it. It's Tina Fey. It's got a great cast. The story behind it's wonderful. The settings are fun. It's a really lovely, cozy watch that has a bit of depth to it. And I came into the second season going, okay, are we going to get this depth? Is it going to be the same, or are we going to just be sort of pulling on the original idea from the 80s Alan Alda film? I reckon it was really good. I think they explored, this is like Tina Fey, she's one of the writers, they explored different aspects of these friendships, these relationships, new-ish sort of relationships as time goes on as well. We got to see more of the grieving of the loss. Oh, should I say it? No, I don't think I will. I'm just going to say the loss of a main character in the first season. And there's more of coming to terms with that. And everybody's doing that in a slightly different way, which I think is really cool. I do want to point out immediately that Anne's fashion, her wardrobe is exceptional. It was in the first one as well, but this one was really cool. Like every time a new episode would come on, I'd be like, oh my God, that jacket is so cool. So her fashion is kind of like art teacher, like high school art teacher, that kind of vibe, I reckon. Once you picture that, you're kind of along the right lines. Danny, Claude are once again the wonderful couple that they are, but they have some new little massive life decisions that they have to decide to go on the same path with or different path. And if it is a different path, how do they continue to be the couple that they already are. You see Ginny again. Ginny is still in it, which is really good. Mark is a new love interest for somebody within the cast. And I know that it's been picked up for a third season, but I think they knew that they were going to get picked up for a third season because the very end of this season, you see a brand new character, and the actor that plays that character is just too big to have gotten about 5 to 10 seconds of screen time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too big. Like, it's obvious that they're that person, that character played by that actor is going to continue to be a major role within the third season. So I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to it already. I've got another year to wait. Oh my gosh. But I know some people were like, four seasons. It's okay, I guess. Yeah. Well, continue to watch It's Okay, I Guess series because they're nice, right? They're nice. And there's actually substance to this one as well, which I believe worked a little bit better than another series that I watched. This one was on, so that was Netflix. This one was Disney on the Hulu aspect of Disney. It was called Alice and Steve. This was it felt like a limited series. If there is another season, I would be surprised, but it's about Alice played by Nicola Walker and Steve Jermaine Clement have been friends for 30 odd years, right? Since they were in their 20s, they are now 50. And Steve, one night out, ends up sleeping with Alice's 26-year-old daughter, Izzy. And it's not a one-night stand. They end up having a relationship. And it's just watching all the characters surrounding those two people implode with this new relationship and what it does to the rest of the family, the dynamics and everything. I did see an article kind of go, oh, it's so icky. Like, the premise itself is so icky because Steve has known Izzy since she was born, right? And now suddenly he's having a relationship with her. Yeah, and he always kind of looks embarrassed about it. Throughout it. I just want to do a quick shout out to Daniel, who is Alice's husband in the series, played by Joel Fry. Very different to other things that I've seen him in. I think he was in The Witcher. He's a very different character. I think his character probably has, for me, the most realistic reactions to things. And also Alice's son, Dom. I think they're kind of the two standouts for me. The series was great. I really enjoyed it. But if I have to put it up against Four Seasons and Alice and Steve, I'm probably going to go with Four Seasons. I did. I really, really enjoyed it. All right, that's going to do it for the watching suggestions for today because I'm getting up to 19 minutes of unedited audio, which I think is very impressive for a solo podcast. Now, usually like in radio, you can talk, you can do it. It's really normal to have a 3-hour shift, right? A 3-hour on-air shift. That's really super normal. But you've got songs, you've got callers, you've got interviews, you've got ad breaks if it's a commercial station. But this is just a podcast where all I've done is speak. I don't even know how much editing I'm going to do, to be honest with you. Just throw in the little IDs and whatnot. Next week, I will be exploring some lesser known or even unknown to me movies by two cast members from Four Seasons. It will be Will Fort and Steve Carell. So if you want to play along as well, try and find them, like, just ones that you were like, oh, I have heard of that, but I've never watched it. Or I had no idea that this movie was a thing and he is the main character in it. So looking forward to that for sure. And also looking forward to seeing what Steph has got for her watching suggestions as well. Until then, Leah, thank you very much because Chester's already gone. He got bored. Thank you.